First day in the brand new Goggin Cold Hall Studios, coldest team in town. That website, goggincold.com. Joined now by Teresa Walker on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. She is the head of coverage for the Associated Press for the state of Tennessee, and that includes Titans and Predators and whatever she wants to do. Teresa, she's the boss. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. It's always a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we hadn't talked much Titans this morning. I know they wrapped up the mandatory mini camp by going to play golf or play at it anyway over at Top Golf. And, you know, you get out of there healthy. Why risk another day? You know, what are you going to get done in that one day except get somebody hurt?
That was exactly Mike Vrabel's question, answer to my question, and here's another thing. It's a bit of a reward. You know, the Titans had guys like, I counted up at least 15 guys, Greg, about 8 of those starters. I didn't count guys who had the occasional start, but are in their final year of their contracts. Yet, you didn't have contract holdout, drama with this team during this offseason program. Guys like Kevin Byard, Logan Ryan, on and on, were here and working. And so you know why? You take them to Top Golf. Last year they went to a police shooting range and dealt with police, did a little shooting on the range and had some interaction there. And, it's a field trip, Who doesn't like it when the teacher suddenly says, hey, we're doing this? And instead of getting out on the field, sweating and grinding for yet another day, when you've done the work, they reported back in the middle of April and had been going through this for weeks. So, you send them off on a little bit of a good note. Now, that said, Mike Vrabel made it very clear to them, be in shape, particularly the rookies. They have the rookies this week, and then they go off to their big NFL rookie event, most of them, and at least the draft picks. And then that's it. And made it very clear, you better be in shape. Rookies are going to have to be back on the last Monday in July. They hadn't done that in a while. It's been a long while since they brought the rookies in. The contract allows it. But rookies and quarterbacks will report on July 22nd. Then the veterans will report on the 25th. They'll be on the field for the first time the 26th. Fans will get to take a look at them for the first time on the 27th. The key, you better be in shape. You've done all this work. You better be in shape for training camp, because the last thing anybody wants, get hurt in those first few days and then end up missing time, because guess what? That player will be sitting out. Somebody else will be taking those reps and moving ahead.
Well, and you mentioned obviously that the contract's coming due. Everybody's obviously talking about what to do with Marcus Mariota. Is that going to be a wait and see, or how that's going to be? But certainly, Kevin Byard, the issues, there are none surrounding him. Fourth year pro, every year's gotten better and better and better. I even had a pick in minicamp this past week. And so that's one of those that I could see getting done sooner rather than later.
That's exactly what I wrote on Tuesday last week, Greg. The Titans over the last 2 years under John Robinson have had deals done in August, right about the beginning of training camp. 2 years ago, it was Jarrell Casey getting an extension. Last year, Taylor DeJuan, who did kind of hold out a couple days just to remind them, hey, I want a new deal. Well, he got his big new deal on the first Friday of training camp. And, oh, by the way, they gave an extension to Delanie Walker. So, Kevin Byard, seems to be the guy most likely to get an extension once we get into training camp. Kevin last week, he's been saying all along, leaving it to his agent. He said last week he knows the Titans and his agent are talking. So, yes, I won't be surprised at all if suddenly we hear that those first few days of camp that they've got a new deal with Kevin Byard. Because let's face it, of all the players that are coming up, Titans fans particularly want to see more out of Marcus Mariota before he gets an extension. Kevin Byard has scratched pretty much every box that you could want. All pro as a, second-year player. He's just become the consummate professional. Some people definitely list him as one of the top safeties in the NFL now, and he's a guy who, going into the second year of Dean Pease's defense with Kenny Vaccaro by his side, Malcolm Butler, and Logan Ryan, let's face it, Greg, he is in position to maybe take yet another step. The picks went down last year, but guess what? They know his name now. Deion Sanders may think he's just a fan, but, you know, quarterbacks and opposing offensive coordinators know who he is, and they're trying not to throw the ball his direction that much. So he's kind of the no-brainer to get an extension.
AP sports writer Teresa Walker on Twitter, at Teresa M. Walker. And you mentioned Dean Pease. I'll go ahead and ask that question or just have a comment from you. What a neat moment at the end of practice. I guess they have the machine, or maybe it was a punt, but he, with the, you know, fielding the high punt, the punt return, and just the reaction of the defense after that, that showed me something.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when people talk about, oh, they, you know, they love their coach or whatever, you know, it's like, you know, words are easy. But, you know, Arthur Smith, offensive lineman, you know, he tried to catch one off the jugs machine and, you know, didn't make it happen. But Dean Pease, who's 69 guy, you know, he's going to be 70 in September. You know, he goes back, he drifts back over a little bit, loses the hat, pulls in the punt, and his defenders swarmed him, jumping up and down and celebrating with him. Mike Vrabel said later, you know, hopefully he didn't break a hip in the celebration, joking, but you know, it's a sign of how much they love and respect Dean Pease, and how, you know, let's face it, competitors, man, they want to win everything, and the defense, you know, it's that time of year. Defense finished probably stronger over the last week or two of the offseason program. Why? Because they know what they're doing, you know, and they know what the offense is doing. So that's why the offense needs to get pads on once we get into training camp and gives them a chance to start pushing back a little bit. But absolutely a fun moment to watch them celebrate with Dean Pease.
Well, and you mentioned Arthur Smith. Obviously, he's been there. He's, you know, what, through now on the fourth coaching regime, right? I believe that's correct.
He started with Mike Munchak's group. So,
right.
Yeah, this is his fourth different head coach.
Right. And now first year's offensive coordinator. Any feel for, you know, now, is it way too soon for something like that, or just how he'll be able to, how he's going to call the game?
Well, still looking for clues, but the one word that I keep hearing from players is they expect to be attacking defenses. You know, that's what I hear from, you know, that they say about Arthur Smith, that he wants to attack defenses. So, you know, if you're thinking that because he was around during the Malarkey era that we're suddenly going to want to go back to exotic smash mouth because, oh, yeah, they do have a guy named Derrick Henry who led the entire NFL in yards rushing in the month of December and is coming off a career year of rushing. But, you know, that seems to be the thing. Now, that said, I can't wait to see once we get into the offseason, as vanilla as it is, preseason games. But, you know, it's every stage is going to be a learning curve for Arthur. But, you know, when you hear him say he wants to be aggressive, I think if you're a Titan fan, you're going to like that because, you know, who doesn't want to be attacking when you're on offense?
Teresa Walker with Associated Press. Jack Conklin, any clues about when he could be? I know Dennis Kelly, I mean, what a nice pickup, first off, to just to slide right in there, and the way he's just so, I guess, dependable may be the best way to describe him. He's solid. But Jack Conklin, his prognosis?
Well, we finally saw him and Jonnu Smith, who were hurt in the same game against Jacksonville in December and wound up on IR. We saw both of them after some of the minicamp sessions last week on a different field. So looks like their rehab has stepped up another level. But, you know, we definitely asked Mike Vrabel how healthy they hope to be come training camp, and things sound good. You know, 6 weeks for some of these guys could make a difference, but, you know, let's face it, those two are probably candidates to start the season on the physically unable to perform list just because, you know, they were injured so late in December. Now, the good thing is for Jack Conklin, who tore the ACL a year ago, that was in a playoff game in the middle of January. Well, this injury came in December, so, you know, he's got another month in his recovery. But, yeah, in this situation, it's a really good thing that they have Dennis Kelly available, and also Kevin Pampiel, who's been working at, you know, right guard, but, you know, both of those guys have made starts at tackle and did pretty well. So, you know, the depth that they've got on the offensive line is good. But, you know, let's put it this way. Keith Carter, the offensive line coach last week, I think he'd be very happy if they didn't have to go past their top five the way they did last year. There was some mixing and matching going on last season due to injuries.
Yeah, I know you were at the press conference the other day when it was announced that Steve McNair's 9 and Eddie George's 27 had been retired for the franchise, and can't argue with either one of those.
Not at all. And I've had this discussion with a few people. It's like, well, they're not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it's like, well, here's the thing. teams don't have to rely on that as the gold standard on who you retire. Now, these are the first 9 and 27 in the entire NFL to be retired, so that's kind of special and unique. But, and yes, neither of these two guys are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They may never get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but you know what? The Tennessee Titans and Amy Adams Strunk understand how valuable these two men were to getting this franchise, you know, to make Nashville home for the Tennessee Titans. You know, those of us who've been around Nashville for more than a minute, we remember the 97 in Memphis, 98 at Vanderbilt, and there were a lot of people still waiting to see how much they were going to invest emotionally, physically, and more importantly, with their money into this franchise. And what these two guys did, Greg, the numbers are pretty amazing. 80-48 together with this team, and that was third in that stretch in the entire NFL. So, let's face it, some of the best stretch in the NFL, and these two men, when you talk Steve and Eddie, you immediately have memories of what this team did in those days. Two AFC championship appearances, one Super Bowl berth, two division titles, and if not for, you know, a few injuries in 2001, might have been more. And then the salary cap came calling and broke everything up. But, Amy Adams Strunk has the right to retire whatever number she wants to, and she's decided to do these. And appropriately enough, the home opener against the Indianapolis Colts, maybe they get a little bit of mojo against the Colts and Andrew Luck, a guy they have yet to beat.
You know, and I watched Big Joe last night. Big Joe's on vacation, but he was on doing his Channel 4. He had a commentary last night. Okay, if you're going to bring in McNair 9, George 27, Wycheck 89, Frank Wycheck, and if you just look at the statistics of it, he was far more prominent in a tight end role statistically than either Eddie. I know Eddie was over 10,000, but I think there's 25, 26, or 7 of those. When he completed his career, I think he was third or fourth all time, but right now there's only 7 tight ends with 500 catches or more. He's got 505: Jason Witten, Shannon Sharp, Ozzie Newsome, Kellen Winslow, Tony Gonzalez, and Antonio Gates. And I would dare say every one of those either are already in or will be in the Hall of Fame. What about number 89?
An incredible case could be made for Frank to be there. He was the leading receiver, if I remember correctly, 5 consecutive seasons. Now, that's partially due to the franchise's issues trying to get top wide receivers. You know, they certainly tried, but until Derek Mason broke through and Drew Bennett, they didn't manage to do that. Frank was the target. He was the go-to guy, and he always seemed to find, you know, if you think of Delanie Walker, well, that was Frank Wycheck back then. And, you know, he benefited from having Eddie George there, but, you know, let's face it, they benefited from having Frank there. So, you know, he's in the Ring of Honor with both of those guys. And whether his 89 gets added to that is certainly something that you can make a great case for that. You can also make a great case for him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The challenge with that, Greg, there's just so many guys that compete for that year in, year out. And as people are retiring, the competition just gets tougher and tougher and tougher. And, you know, it's been a few years since 2003 was the last season for Frank. As time goes by, people tend to forget, unfortunately.
Yeah. Just a quick question. Obviously, we had Joe Fisher on last hour. Vanderbilt baseball winning yesterday, and Austin Martin showing why he's one of the best players in all of college baseball, be a first-round draft pick next year, and then Drake Fellows gets that good start. They come back with Kumar Rocker tomorrow night in Mississippi State. They're on course. It sets up. Once you get into that first one, you get into that winner's bracket, you win again, man. You set up nicely.
Absolutely, and as a stat I saw on ESPN yesterday showed, the national champion has won their opener 34 of the last 38 years. Wow. And gone on to win the national title. So, you know, certainly not a bad omen for the Commodores, but, you know, let's face it, you know, when you get a leadoff homer, that's a pretty good way to start it. And the fun part for the Commodores is this: they're not looking at Austin Martin or J.J. Blade to carry them at the plate. That batting order is just so strong from top to bottom. Any one of those guys is capable of coming through with the game-winning hit on any night for the Commodores. So this is going to be so much fun to watch them as they continue at Omaha.
Well, Teresa, we'll talk to you next Monday. Hey, you can stop by and visit. We're in the Nolensville Road, Thompson Lane area, right off 440. So come by and say hello to us sometime.
Will do. Thank you so much, Greg.
All right.